This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Wow, looky there. A new intro. Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I'm Bone.
And I am a very, very happy Beam. Thank you so much for changing that, T-Bone.
It only took me, what, 4 years or however long we've been doing this?
That's right.
Yeah, I got rid of the Sergio Aguero, your favorite goal call of Manchester City, which you love, and put in a little Rooney to start us off.
Thank you. There you go.
Yes, we have a new intro. We're doing lots of new things here. We're brought to you by Zaftig Italian Village, our favorite soccer bar on the planet. So, lots to get to today. We are going to talk about, among other things on the podcast, we are going to talk about some of the goings-on in Italy. There's a new champion there. We're going to discuss Zlatan Ibrahimovic back in the limelight once again. Some weird stuff going on in European soccer as well with Kylian Mbappe, so we'll get to that. I've got to talk about the team that wouldn't quit and finally, after four long years, got back up into the second division of English soccer.
The little engine that could.
That is little old Sunderland. The Black Cats are back, baby. We'll get into some of that as we go through and probably lots of other European soccer things. But before we start anywhere else, Beamer, let's talk about the crew. Because things continue to not go well. There was a big rain delay, lightning delay, thunderstorm delay, everything delay last week.
So I had the opportunity. Buddy texted me around 10:30, 11 o'clock last week on Saturday, the day of the game, and said, hey, man, do you want to go to the crew game? And I'm like, oh, Meredith and I are doing stuff. She was on a camping trip this week. So, like, we just wanted to spend some time of the weekend together. We got back. We drove around, you know, took a nice little day trip out of town, everything. Got back around, I don't know, 1:30, 2 o'clock. I'm like, we could still make it down to that game. Torrential downpour, thunderstorm going on. I'm like, okay. Doesn't seem too bad. Like, we could kind of make this happen if we wanted to. Then I looked at the radar and said, you know what? There's going to be other crew games in the future.
Yeah, right.
It's 95 degrees out. I'm not going to enjoy it being hot and sweaty and everything. So I said, let's pass.
And you passed, and then it turned out to work out okay because you didn't end up with the big weather delay. The
game started at 7:56 p.m. When it was originally slated for 3:30.
And
it's a five-and-a-half-hour delay.
I feel bad for Crew 2, who are playing great soccer, by the way. Crew 2 was supposed to have a doubleheader where everyone there could have stayed and watched the second, you know, the second team play, which would have been awesome. That all got bumped to Sunday because, you know, of course it did because it was a late start, but... Crew dropped to LAFC 2-0. Couple goals pulled back off of, you know, rightfully called offside, but this is the story of this team. They play well for the first, you know, bit of the game, first hour of the game in this case, and then just completely fall apart. Caleb Porter had some comments about that.
Spicy man.
I want you to listen to these comments, and please know, if you go to, like, Massive Report, they have it on their YouTube channel. There's, like, an 18-minute video of him in this press conference. Watch the whole thing. We're not going to play the whole thing for you, but here's a few minutes of the audio. Clay Hall had this from Channel 6, too, this audio, but it's some pretty interesting stuff from Porter, and at the very end, he basically decides to throw the entire offensive part of his team under the bus. Take a listen.
Some guys become, you know, a Tom Brady and some guys don't. Some guys become a Castellanos and some guys don't. And at the end of the day, we are trying to develop some guys into one of those guys, right? But when you look at the roster and the budget and what those guys are on, you can kind of see that there's a gap a little bit there with those guys. That's a reality, you know? So can we turn Derek into a guy that becomes, you know, not a good value piece that you go, holy wow, I can't believe what he's on, into a guy that's like a legitimate top winger in the league. Mm-hmm. Can Yao become that? That's what we had hoped he would be, right? But there's no magic bullet for that. You know, it's showing them in the video, it's putting them on the training ground. But some guys become, you know, top players and some guys don't. You know, I'll use the example of, you know, a guy like Blanco, right? You spend a little bit more, you get a guy like Blanco, he comes in the league, it was a little bit of a risky signing, but you see what's happened with a guy like him, you know? And we're going to get that in the striker, and we're hoping to develop some of our wingers into that type of guy, you know? But course, if you have a Talus Magno and you've spent a certain amount, right, you're going to get a little bit more out of the gates. And what I do is I don't complain. I don't make excuses. I don't, you know, pin it on that I don't have the budget. That's not the way that my character is. That's not the way that I think. That's not the way that I talk to my guys. I work. I do my job. I take the team that I have, and I every single game I put my head down and I put a group out that's ready to play. My freaking group is ready to play this game. After 4 hours of waiting, they were ready to play. Anybody questions if they were ready to play? You don't know what you're talking about. My group was ready to play. Not only just ready to play, but we dominated the first 57 minutes of the game. Okay? That's the reality. Okay? So I'd say we got it right. The mentality was right. The hunger was right. The motivation was right. That's my job. The tactics, the game plan, that's my job. Okay? I can't finish from 8 yards out. I can't finish from 6 yards out. In that moment, just like I really don't think Steve Cherundolo is telling Carlos Vela how to score from 6 yards out or 8 yards out. That's not happening. And Pep Guardiola is not telling his attackers from 8, 10, 12 yards out how to score goals. You know? But I'm going to continue to show them the video, continue to work on the training ground, continue to believe in these guys, be positive with them, and not make excuses. That's who I am as a coach. And, you know, if you can't see that we were ready to play in that game, if you can't see that the plan was right, if you can't see that the way we played, we should have scored goals, that's not my problem. Yeah. It's just really not, you know.
All right, there's a lot there that we can unpack, Beamer, but I will say this before I rip Caleb Porter, I will give him his plaudits, man. I would bet you that 99%, if not 100% of coaches, professional, college, high school, name your level, not just in soccer, in all sports, feel the way that Caleb Porter does. Very few of them actually say the things that Caleb Porter says because, I mean, he's honest. I'll give him that.
It's good and bad, right?
But that whole thing of that line basically of if you're – he's basically saying two things there as I read it. One is – I can't help it that my guys are terrible. I have a great game plan. I'm awesome. Everything I did is right, and my sucky players can't execute what I put them in the best spot. I hand-fed them a goal, and they just can't put the ball in the net because they suck. So that's one thing he said. And the other thing he said is, if you can't see that, you're an idiot. Did I read that wrong? That's how I took those comments.
Listen, I'm no psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I don't really read into people's body language and, you know, do all that. Again, I'm not an expert in that field. Think he hit the nail on the head. Also, too, by the way, when he's like, yeah, served this ball up on a silver platter with our tactics and everything. Your players got them into that position.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, They're the ones having to make the passes and open up the lanes. They're doing everything right to get them there. Sure. Problem's not on you. You're not finishing off the right way. You can't finish a goal. Oh, Pep Guardiola can't take a chance. You know, Manchester City, if they did, they'd be a different team. Like,
look, man, I told you this was coming. I said this last year. People got on to me for it. Caleb Porter is all he has been throughout his career, a guy who is very much about himself. And that's fine. There's lots of people who are selfish in sports. I'm not faulting him for that. What I am going to point out, though, in this is that Caleb Porter has a track record of winning early and then the results fade over time because he wears out his players. He wears out his staff. And if that's what he's saying to the media is, my guys, I got them everything in that game that was good. They gave you everything that was bad in that game.
Mm-hmm.
He lays it out where he says, the game plan was right. My guys were ready to play. That's my job. That's my job. All this, that's my job stuff. And then, hey, man, Pep Guardiola can't get his guys to finish. That's not on him. That's on the guys that finish.
Do you see how this is a two-way street?
It's almost like everything good that Caleb Porter does, everything good the crew do is Caleb Porter's doing. Everything bad that happens is because the players suck.
And it's the opposite of every coach speak you ever hear. Like, when it's
complete opposite.
When it's good, it's always the fact of like, hey, players did that, good job. When it's bad, usually it's on the onus of the coach to say, listen, this is my fault. I take the responsibility. I'm falling on the sword. It's totally opposite day with him.
Yeah. You know, and what I don't get to is where he says things like, I can't make these guys finish. I'm not going to tell them how to finish. I mean, you don't have to do that with the best players in the world. Number one, you know that you don't have the best players in the world. That's how this works. Only a few teams in the world have the best players in the world. That's how that happens, right? Manchester United, by the way, does not have the best players in the world. I'm not even saying it's a budget thing. I'm saying there's only like a handful of guys that qualify as best in the world. Everybody else has got to get a little bit better. And other teams, even in the Premier League, even in the Bundesliga, even in name your league over in Europe, they regularly hire finishing coaches. I think it was Liverpool that hired a guy to just work on throw-ins.
Yeah.
Because Jurgen Klopp is the type of guy that says, yeah, we're really good, but I want to be the best. And I know I've got good players, so I'm not going to throw them under the bus. I could obviously get them, I could get a little bit more out of them if I changed up something. And instead, what you always hear from Caleb Porter is, I can't make this guy work. I can't make that guy work. I need more Lucas Zelarayans, basically.
Yeah, well, so does everybody else.
Right.
Everybody else would love to have that guy. You clone him, everything would be fine.
So, yeah, I applaud him for his honesty. This is why a lot of coaches aren't honest, though, because these are the type of things where...
Boney did it a couple of weeks ago, and again, to his credit, I mean, when he came out, he gave you exactly the way that he thought about Giassi. He said, I reached out, I want those words back. He was being honest in that moment.
Yeah.
Again, he has done this time and time again. That's who he is. He's going to be honest with you, and it comes off a little brash. I just want to know if you're Tim Bezpachenko sitting there in the GM's office like, oh, can't do anything with these bums. Like,
yeah,
how does that make me feel?
Well, right. And basically, Porter was asked in this, too, in this line of questioning, are you saying then you want more than one player? And he's like, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Like, I told you this a couple weeks ago. Jacob Myers and I went back and forth on Twitter about something because I thought Caleb Porter was laying the groundwork for excuse time. And then I was like, he didn't say that at all. This is exactly what he was doing. He is telling you, well, we didn't land that striker I needed, so you can't expect any results for the next couple months till I get my striker. And, oh, by the way, I need more now because pretty much the rest. By the way, he said when asked about, well, what about the rest of the gameplay? And he's like, I thought otherwise. I mean, other than a couple lapses, I thought we played great. You mean the two lapses that led to the two goals that were you gift-wrapped LAFC? Darlington Nagby, who is otherwise a great player, but he had perhaps his worst game as a crew player? That you have no problem saying, just a couple lapses there. But no, that's on your tactics too, because you're putting guys in bad spots. They're making bad decisions defensively,
hey,
and it's costing you goals.
Hey. The crew have played great for 60 minutes in a lot of games this year, though.
60-minute game. That's what I said on Twitter was like, I quickly Google how long do soccer games last. Hey, wait a second. 60 minutes isn't how long they last. Holy crap. It's like maybe there should be more to that. So anyway, Atlanta United. I don't know what to expect. Crew could score three goals. Crew could lose by a million. I have no expect. I think I know what to expect, though. I think I know what's going to happen is this team's not going to play well and they're not going to score.
I have no confidence in this team right now.
I have no confidence in someone on this team who walks on the sidelines. I have zero confidence in him to get this changed without like just giving him a whole new team, which that's not a coaching thing. That's just get him a new team. And a lot of coaches would be better in that regard. Take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what's going on in Italy. There are new champions in Italy and a familiar face is talking like only he can. We'll discuss next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United, brought to you by Zaptic Italian Bill.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Beam United.
Brought to you by Zaptic Italian Village. We were just out there. Last week we were watching Manchester United. We watched Decision Day, you and I did, along with many others at the Zaptic Italian Village. Many Manchester United fans hanging out
there. You chose violence, by the way.
Well, I didn't choose anything. I posted on our Twitter that a bunch of people at that bar holding up a Manchester United flag were actively rooting for Manchester City. And then you said that, and I said, well, where's the lie? Because I walked in there and it was Manchester City and Liverpool down to the final. This is what you want.
Down to the last 15 minutes of the season.
If you're not either of those teams, all the other people who are caring about the Premier League are like, this is great. Final day of the season. You've got a relegation battle. You got a Champions League battle. And you've got this battle for the top spot. Mm-hmm. And I assumed you would not be rooting for a team from Manchester to hoist the trophy. And yet at this bar, to a person, man, woman, there were children there. Little kid who just flipped me off as soon as I walked in.
Smoking a cigarette.
Yep. It was something. Anyway, all of you Manchester United fans at this bar were like, nah, fully pulling for Manchester City. Cheers went up when Manchester City rallied to come back and gain their title. Why was that, Beam? Explain the logic to me.
Well, that's because nobody likes Liverpool, Bone.
That's fine.
That's the best way that I can describe it. Really, I was just happy that West Ham collapsed and Manchester United got into Europa League. That's what I was so thrilled for.
That's fine. I just want to point out that I was watching this game and I thought for sure it was like, well, don't wear anything like light blue, nothing close to Manchester City colors. Nope. I in fact should have worn exactly that, because I could have wore Carolina blue
Zach Steffen
in there.
Jersey.
Yeah, because you guys were all about it, and I was pretty surprised.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah.
Now, desperate people do a lot in their darkest hours, Bone.
Yeah, I know that. I also met the two Joes who hang out at...
You met American Joe?
American Joe.
And Manchester Joe.
How much do you know about American Joe?
A lot.
Well, you had a lot of conversations with him?
I've more than you.
I had one really good conversation with American Joe, and I...
He's an interesting cat.
He's got a backstory that they should make a movie out of that
guy. He's an interesting cat. Also, Manchester Joe, author.
Yeah, Manchester
Doctor.
Joe, also like an incredible person and a great human to meet, and I had a fascinating time talking to both of them.
Different levels of interesting stories.
Very different guys. If you confuse the Joes at Zaftig Italian Village, they're both Manchester United fans. They're both named Joe. And mm-hmm. That's where the similarities end.
American Joe, Manchester United tattoo.
Yes. He showed me that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got quite the thing going there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's it for them for the rest of this season. But
thanks.
We'll still, you know, there's going to be like U.S. soccer games. There'll be other things to go out there. We'll go watch away games for the crew out at Zaftig. We'll get to hang. And maybe we'll get the Manchester and American Joes back together for that.
That's right.
That'd be fun. Champions of Italy, that's AC Milan. You watch a lot of Italian soccer, Beamer?
Oh, yeah. Big Serie A fan.
Big Serie A fan.
I know
you are.
Can't live without it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same here. Anyway, AC Milan, they won Italy. They are the champions.
Yep.
If you'd forgotten, Zlatan Ibrahimovic is back with AC Milan. So he has been all over the world. He came to play in the U.S. for a little bit, and according to him, he dominated MLS. And then he left to go back over to Europe, where he then has helped a team continue to win.
It's pretty impressive, right?
No, it's incredible how good he has been throughout his career. No one doubts his place in world soccer. He's one of the greatest to ever lace up a pair of boots and, you know, get him on the chalk line or whatever they say, whatever little euphemism you use, whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. But he had some quotes. He was all, number one, it's all in Italian. There's a video. We could tweet it out, I guess, at Bonebeam United on Twitter if you want to go check it out. But it's him just after the game telling the team like how he felt about the season and thanking them for playing so hard. And then what was the line he had, Beamer? Do you have that queued up?
Yeah.
It's in Italian, but just prepare for the emotion.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Perché Milano non è Milano. Italia è Milano!
So he's in there. They're in the locker room after they won Serie A. Going nuts. He's giving this unbelievable speech in Italian. He says, now do me a favor. It's like it's 90 seconds of him thanking the players and thanking the coaches and everybody for doing their job. And nobody believed in little old AC Milan, you know. And he goes, now do me a favor. This is what he said right there in that clip. Do me a favor. Now celebrate like champions, because it's not Milan that belongs to AC Milan. It's Italy.
It's
Italian. Yes. And then he flips table over, and they just start going nuts in the dressing room.
He flipped a table over at the end of his pregame or postgame speech, and it's one of the more like motivated. I want to go run through a brick wall right now, and I'm not even like
I'm not even near a brick wall.
No, I'm not near a brick. I don't even know where we would find one at this point, honestly. But anyway, that's the legend of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and our buddy, longtime friend of the program, Matt Lampson.
Yeah.
Has famously told us on this podcast that he has partied. He has. It's verified. He has partied with Zlatan. They are friends. I think they should go party again.
And they also enjoy floating guacamole.
That's right.
Which was the title of the episode that we did. Like 3 years ago when we did that.
It is. Exactly right. So, yeah, there you go. Congratulations if you're an Italian soccer fan and you are an AC Milan fan. If you're not, well, apparently you have to be now because Zlatan said you do. So that's how that works. This is a weird situation going on with PSG, Paris Saint-Germain. They have Kylian Mbappe slated to stay there as of the latest news that we've all seen.
Oh, this is the best.
Now, PSG, of course, plays in France. But Real Madrid,
they play in Spain.
Yes, and La Liga is where that's in Spain. So La Liga is mad. Real Madrid is mad because they believed that Kylian Mbappe was coming to La Liga and to Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Then he did an about face and signed a 3-year contract extension with PSG, and so PSG's and La Liga's concern is that. How did they do this, given they've said they've lost 700 million euros?
Mm-hmm.
How are they signing a guy?
Yeah, you know why? Because everybody pays attention to FIFA and UEFA financial fair play rules. Last time I checked, everybody is abiding to those laws and those rules like their Bible. Yeah, everybody over there.
I don't doubt that they're all very disappointed that Mbappe's not coming. And they probably have a real case that it goes against the fair play rules, which we're not going to bother trying to explain right now.
It's stupid.
Yeah, they're stupid because they don't work and that barely anybody abides by them. But then I saw that the UEFA president came out, Alexander Seferin, who said, if I don't have a problem with it, why should they? Like, he basically said, it's your perspective that they're breaking our rules, but we see it otherwise. So he's just like, yeah, I'm not going to get in the middle of all this, you know, cat fight between two countries. I'm someone who oversees the whole continent when it comes to soccer. I'm just going to say that everything worked above board.
And so the best part about this entire ruse about Real Madrid and La Liga suing PSG and Legia and like everything that was going on is that Kylian Mbappe's new contract with PSG is mind-boggling. I mean, it's outrageous. Apparently, he owns all the rights to his images. It's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of half of a billion euros over 3 years. 3 years.
Three-year
contract, half a billion euros is what this man is going to be making.
Oh, my gosh.
The best part from the comments about Cesarean, the UEFA president, is that he comes out and he says, to the best of my knowledge, Real Madrid was offering pretty much the same damn thing.
Wow.
It's like, so they're breaking the laws?
Yes.
Because he decided to stay in Paris, but you, the almighty Real Madrid.
You're allowed to do that, yeah.
We're allowed to do it,
yes.
But them, no.
Yeah.
We can't have that.
Of course, yeah. Well, it's too bad for Real Madrid. They're just a piddly little team that doesn't ever make a final of any. Oh, wait, no, they do. They're pretty talented in their own right. So.
And also, the last time I checked, PSG, crash and burn.
They are the crash and burn champs of Italy, or of Italy, of Europe right now is what I was trying to say.
City are close second.
Yeah.
But they're doing a pretty good job with it.
Your favorite team. Your second favorite team. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as it says Manchester, right? That's what we know.
That's all I care about. Yeah,
all right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, I'll talk about how one of my favorite teams has finally done something really great. That's next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United, brought to you by Zaftig Italian.
What a moment!
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Brought to you by Zaftig Italian Village. Thanks again for checking out Bone and Beam United. If you're enjoying this, you want to, you know, make sure you get to hear every episode. Just find Bone and Beam United wherever you get your podcasts. Just search them. If you've listened to us for the first time, maybe, and you've not actually listened to us on a podcast, go check that out. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, whatever you use, you can find us. And you can follow, subscribe, whatever. All that's there for you. So my team in England has been for many years. Nope. That was my adopted team for a year. And sorry, I sent them to an early death. Down into the championship. That was pretty quick and swift for them.
Hey, how dare you criticize me for cheering for teams? You bounce around. You Fulham was last year.
No.
You sent them to an early death. You sent Watford to an early death.
Listen.
Sunderland, okay, that's fine.
Sunderland has been my team.
You were on Chelsea when Pulisic went there.
Sunderland has been my team.
Must be nice.
But since we've been doing this podcast, Sunderland has not been up in the Premier League. And they went down to the championship. Then they dropped down again to the third division. And they've been stuck there for 4 years. Four miserable long years. Sunderland is my team.
Talk to Shrimpers fans.
Well, all right. Okay, Southend United. But you actually are a Manchester United fan. Like, Sunderland is my Manchester United. That's my team I have rooted for the longest. Yeah. That's the team I care about.
Hate to see it.
I pick a little Premier League team every year for fun. But this is my real team. And so they finally got back in the playoff. They couldn't just, like, win the third division of English soccer. No.
Or even come in second.
Yeah. No, they had to go to the playoff. It feels like the last 3 years they did this. Anyway, they did get back up, and they did finally overcome. They beat Wickham 2-0. Sunderland took over London. They took over everywhere around Wembley. It was a beautiful sight to see.
Where is Sunderland, by the way?
Sunderland is in the northeast of England. It's up right across the river from Newcastle.
Okay.
They're very close up to, like, Scotland and all that. Very cold. They're on the sea. I mean, they are, like, if you watch the Sunderland, you know, Netflix documentary they did on them, I mean, everything in there is, like, ships and lighthouses and that whole, the song that they play is all about just making you proud. To be from the place where you work with your hands, where they build the boats, as the guy says, what place they build the boats. Like, that's where we were, stuck there
Real
with no
soul
hope.
To the earth, people.
Yeah. Sunderland's back, baby. So
we are back. We are back.
I want to thank Elliot Embleton, who joined the club at age 7, was once a season ticket holder at the Stadium of Light. This man is the one who got the goal that got this team got the first goal, and then it eventually was Ross Stewart who got the second goal, and then that's what put it all clear. Now, I was watching this game at my daughter's soccer game.
Nice.
And so as I'm doing that, I was talking with one of the other parents. He is from Brazil, parent of one of the other kids on my daughter's soccer team. Name is Hilton. Very nice guy. He moved up to where I live for work, and so we were chatting about other places he's lived, teams he's rooted for. And so I was explaining the Sunderland love to him, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. And I'm showing him the game, and he kept asking me, like, how are they doing? As we're watching our kids play, he's also like, how's Sunderland doing and all that
stuff. That's nice of him. I didn't even text you and congratulate you.
I know. That's fine. I didn't miss it. I didn't know it. I didn't mark it down in my little journal of slights.
Okay. Yep.
Journal of slights.
You and Steve Buscemi.
But then Hilton was telling me about his team, which is Corinthians.
Nice.
Which I said, who's Corinthians? And I'm, oh, Corinthians is how it's, like, spelled. Yeah. But obviously in Brazil you speak Portuguese. You say it a little differently. Corinthians is how you actually say it. So I want to now announce that I am a Corinthians fan and I have adopted them.
And they will shortly be relegated.
That's what's happening. That's right. I hope not. I really don't wish that on them. But anyway, now I've got another team to watch. And they're still playing, by the way, because their season goes like March through October or something like that. Mm-hmm. So in Brazil, we've still got soccer going. So
I need to ask
soccer
you
all the time.
I need to ask you a hypothetical here.
Okay.
Sunderland, maybe they have a miracle. Maybe they get up to the Premier League next year. Whenever this is going to be.
Yeah.
Will you go? I won't ask you to go to their first game when they're back in the Premier League. But if they get promoted at some point in the near future and you're able to attend, what amount of money would you spend going over there to go see Sunderland back in the Premier League?
Oh, I would. So I have a plan for 2026. It's not one of those plans I've yet discussed with my spouse. Mm. It's a plan that's in my head and is maybe on a spreadsheet somewhere that I have formulated the amount of money I want to spend when the World Cup is here to travel. I want to try to take like 2 weeks off if I'm allowed to by this, you know, corporate overlords we have here. But I want to hit like...
I'll be fired by then, so I'll be available.
Fingers crossed both of us will be fired and we can then not have to worry about that and go work at normal places. But anyway,
we're just going
to
do the podcast for our job. show all the time.
Yeah, live from Zaftig every day.
That would be fantastic.
That's great. And then we also will have to clean dishes and be bartenders. But anyway...
Correct.
I would take out... Like, I was planning, my goal is to spend thousands of dollars, if I can afford it, to travel to, like, 4 or 5 cities in the U.S. and watch any manner of World Cup game I can get my hands on. If a U.S. game is one of them, great. But if not, I don't care who's playing. I want to go to, like, 3 or 4 or maybe even 5 World Cup games in 2026. If Sunderland gets up before that to the Premier League, I would be willing to take like whatever I'm going to spend and cut it in half and take that money to go have a really great like week in England with my wife and go and just do that. And probably with like a buddy of mine, Jared, who is a huge Sunderland supporter who lives here, him and his wife, if they can do it too, let's all go and then let's do that. You're welcome to come, Beamer.
I was going
to
say, thanks for the invite on
we'll
the
go,
list.
We'll go stay with Voldemort. No, who is it that you know? Not Voldemort. That's not even the right. Sean Bean, but he didn't play. He wasn't even in Harry Potter.
Nope. Ned Stark. Then Lord of the Rings.
What am I thinking of? What's his name in?
Boromir.
Boromir, not Voldemort. Jeez. Anyway, we'll go live with him. We'll go stay there, save some money. That'll be fun.
God, that would be a blast, wouldn't it?
I'm telling you though, Stadium of Light. That's where I want to go. I actually want to go if Sunderland and Newcastle can get together.
Oh my.
That's what I want to see.
The big derby, right?
It's Everton Liverpool. It's City versus United. It's all that.
We've learned that that's not really a derby anymore.
It's in the same city. That's all I'm trying to say. The stadiums are close. That's really all it is. All right, so everything we just talked about there with Voldemort and Boromir and all that, that was all on the radio, or will be.
How about that? We got a radio
on Saturday.
Show.
Yeah, they're letting us do, for those who don't know, a lot of the podcast now is being put on Saturdays before crew games. They're letting us kind of lead into crew coverage on the fans. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, I want to hear this again, but on the radio, why would you? I don't know, but you can. It'll be on the fan this Saturday.
6:45, I think.
Right before crew coverage with them playing.
We're very buttoned up.
Oh, very buttoned up.
But I'm actually shirtless now that we've started the actual podcast.
The buttons are off, baby.
Yep.
Now, we couldn't do this on that part of the podcast because that part of the podcast is going to air in a like weird time warp after this event will happen.
Yeah.
But we are recording the podcast on Thursday. There has not been a Champions League final yet. You might be saying, why didn't we talk about the Champions League final at all? Don't worry. That's what we're going to do now.
It's already happened in the world of the radio show that will be on Saturday.
But you might be listening to this before the radio show or after, in which case...
Doctor Strange multiverse going on.
This is exactly right.
My head hurts just thinking about what we're talking about.
I am the Porky Pig Spider-Man. That's what I am. I'm that one in the multiverse. Anyway, all right. So let's talk about this Champions League final. You have got... Manchester City, which, good for them. Tremendous. Enjoy all that.
Mm-hmm.
Going up against Real Madrid.
Manchester City? What are you talking about?
What did I say?
Why did you say Manchester City.
Why are you drunk?
No, I don't know.
I am drunk. God, I'm still thinking about how you rooted for them all week long and just,
Man, you and Morgan Hughes, don't poo-poo. Don't poo-poo me on that, all right?
All right. Liverpool, God.
Every single fan that's a Liverpool fan right now has thrown their listening device through a window. I agree. Let's make Manchester City play in this game. That's another multiverse that we're living in.
Well,
maybe Pep Guardiola and City don't choke in the Champions League.
Yes, apparently, because I was going to bring up that Pep Guardiola had said it's easier to win the Champions League than it is to win England.
Good job.
I don't know, man. Since you did win England and you haven't, you're not winning this right now, so whatever. Anyway, Liverpool, the actual team playing against Real Madrid. How are we feeling about this one, Beamer? Where do you see this one going?
I think it's going to be a fantastic final. Really do. I've said on this show when we started going over knockout rounds, you look at who Real Madrid, for some reason, doesn't it seem like the last 3 or 4 years, like Real Madrid shouldn't be here? Like whatever it is, like this new iteration of the team. Like I know we've talked about Karim Benzema and we've talked about Modric and everybody. Like it doesn't, whatever they have going on, like since they lost Cristiano, you're like, oh, Real Madrid won't be anything. They lost one of the best players of all time. I am 1,000% sure that Carlo Ancelotti has made a black magic blood pact with somebody. You look at the results that they've had leading into this game. We're down and out basically against Chelsea.
Yep.
Okay, come back. You win that game.
Left for dead.
Okay, you move on. Good to go. You were for sure dead against PSG.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you score 3 goals. Okay, good. We're fine. And then the piece de resistance of this blood pact against Manchester City, in which you scored 2 goals in stoppage time and then a goal in the 5 minutes of extra time, which Karim Benzema got a penalty. I don't understand. And maybe It's the fact that Real Madrid have been here so many times. They know what it takes. They have that experience. Whatever it is, it's really weird what they've got going on. And again, I don't know if it's because of the experience that this team possesses, if that somebody has made a voodoo doll of other teams that Real Madrid are playing, but everybody who's saying it's lucky that they're here, that's not factually correct. You don't do it over and over and over again.
Look, you can, there's two different ways to, I guess, say that word, right? Like, lucky can mean like you don't deserve to be there and you just had some crazy weird bounces, like a Cinderella type story.
Yeah.
I would be willing to hear you out on, like, if you were going to talk about who was the basketball team in the NCAA tournament that got all the way from New Jersey, Seton Hall, right?
No.
Was it Seton Hall?
No.
Who was it?
St. Peter's.
St. Peter's. No, Seton Hall is where their coach went. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm mixing everybody up today. Sorry about that. Yeah, St. Peter's. That
lay
little
off the shrooms, man.
It's coffee, I guess. It's all mushroom coffee now. Anyway, so that St. Peter's team, I could see you calling them lucky, right? They had every bounce. Everything worked out. They played out of their minds.
Yeah.
Real Madrid has some old guys. Luka Modric is 37 years old. Karim Benzema is, what, in his early, mid-30s, 34, something like that?
David Alaba has had a new transition in his career.
Right. All these guys are not in their prime versions of themselves.
Grizzled vets.
Yeah. So you can say they've had things work out in their favor, and they have had some things that have to go right for any team to get this far. They've had some of those things happen. But if you think they haven't made a few of those bounces for themselves, you're lying to yourself. Like, there's no doubt that this team isn't going anywhere without the talent they've amassed. They are not some plucky group that's never played together.
Right.
They're not a bunch of guys who don't know how to play at this level. Luka Modric hitting that pass that I still go back to outside of his boot that, you know, was one of the best passes I've ever seen in my life. That's not luck. That is the skill that guy has honed for 20 years of playing, well, 37 years really of playing soccer, however long he's been playing. But that's the skill that you have when you bring in guys like that who, yes, they're past their prime. They're not the guys they used to be, but they can still get the job done. And for Carlo Ancelotti to make these selections and put this team together, that's what I say when I talk about you're building your own luck. There's always going to be bounces and things that go your way. There's always going to be questions about why certain teams didn't change tactics to prevent you from these giant comebacks that you seem to be, I don't know, they're like built like no one I've ever seen to just have a comeback out of nowhere. Actually, Manchester City had their comeback out of nowhere this past weekend. But you look at everyone who did that, it's all a bunch of 20 and 22-year-olds doing
it. Right.
Not that they don't have young guys on Real Madrid. They certainly do, right? Some of the best players in the world are on Real Madrid, and they're all, like, under the age of 25. But you would be lying to yourself if you thought Karim Benzema's not on this team. Real Madrid's not getting there without him, right? I don't think they would have been there without
Karim Benzema. He's been the best striker in the second half of this year across Europe.
Yeah, and Modric has been not a 90-minute great player.
It's pulling the strings, though, in what Carlo Ancelotti is able to do. Eduardo Camavinga has been tremendous when he has played. Rodrigo, of course, was the storyline of Manchester City. Vinicius, as well, up that left-hand side.
Like, out of this world,
he's a nightmare.
Yes.
He's a nightmare to guard. Of all these other guys, like, it just seems like, for whatever Caleb Porter lacks control on this team with the crew and not knowing what to do and what subs, like, Carlo Ancelotti is the puppet master, and whatever string that he pulls, it seems to be the correct one. Now, on the other side, Liverpool, good campaign, second in the Premier League. You won the Carabao Cup. You won the FA Cup. Treble still technically on the table. But not your traditional treble.
Not the one you would usually call a treble. But sure, you would, three trophies in a year, anybody would take that.
Absolutely, you would. Jurgen Klopp, coach of the year in England. Okay, Pep Guardiola had some things to say about that. That's fine. We could do that another day.
That's all right. Pep Guardiola got Erling Haaland, so I think that's a nice consolation prize.
Boy, that's going to be fantastic. Drop the attitude, Erling, which already is very funny to me. Like, come in with no attitude. Like,
that's
he's just
right.
Maybe the highest paid player outside of
Mbappe.
I'll
have whatever damn attitude. By the way, I think Erling Haaland got off that plane. I don't know if you saw that video where he's walking to the airport.
Oh.
My dude had, My dude had been eating.
I'm not sure where he was coming from. I don't know if the plane in Germany made a pit stop up to the Netherlands.
My dude had a brownie or two. Something.
I couldn't see his eyeballs.
No.
Good for him.
He faded as faded gets. And by the way, you just signed one of the biggest deals any soccer player is ever going to sign. You're going to your boyhood club, mm-hmm. and some kid comes out right as you walk out of the airport. Some kid's like, can I get a picture? And you're just like,
I guess, man.
Whatever, man.
Sure.
What's up, dude? Like, I know that's not how he talks, but that's how he looks like he should talk, especially after whatever magic plane ride he went on. But anyway, back to you.
Liverpool, obviously, what they've done with Jurgen Klopp has been nothing short of spectacular, right? I mean, yes. They've just been incredible, and really, it's the same core guys who have been there over the course of, I don't know how long Jurgen's been there now, six, seven years. They've built this team around Mo Salah. They have built this team around Sadio Mane up front. And then, for me, the best defender that I have ever watched, Virgil van Dijk,
he's top five as far as I've ever watched. Yes, I agree. He's up there. He is as good as I've probably ever seen.
So as much as we talk about guys who can affect the game and, you know, Erling Haaland and Kylian Mbappe on the offensive side, Virgil van Dijk can affect the game not only offensively when he goes up for his headers, who is maybe the best in the world to do that, also can affect the game defensively. They play within themselves, and it always seems like with Liverpool, when they're down or they're getting pressed, like, they flip. It's the switch flip, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When all of a sudden it's like, okay, yeah, you may be dominating this game right now. We're down 2-0, but you know those goals are going to come. You know this is going to happen. We are going to get ourselves into a situation to play. And they've been playing. They've played so many games together. They've had so many minutes on the field that it really is like Sadio Mane and Mo Salah, they are kind of attached at the hip. Like, I know what you're going to do. You know what I'm going to do. And that's what makes them so dangerous. Diego Jota has been very good for them this year. Their entire team, it feels like, with the way that they lost the Premier League, that they are the favorites heading into this.
Yeah.
At least for me.
I feel the same way. I feel like Liverpool has more of a – this is hyperbolic, right? But if we were going to pit, like – if there was a David Goliath situation, it feels like the Goliath would be Liverpool.
And it's crazy to say, like, Goliath Real Madrid or David Real Madrid, but,
well, in the sense of, like, I just feel like there's more the talent level that Liverpool has. They have more guys in the prime of their careers playing at this height of a level. They do not have any, like, not anybody else has anything to play for, right? This Champions League, this should be all you're playing for anyway every year. But in their case, like, they did lose out on this Premier League thing. They desperately wanted that, but this is, I think, their way of saying, we don't need the Premier League. We have this. And as much as Real Madrid, I think, has the talent level to do it, I feel like they're the vast underdog in this game because they just don't have, to me, pound for pound, the roster that Liverpool does. We're talking millimeters of difference, but we are in this level. I still feel like Liverpool's the better team. So I'm going to pick Liverpool to win this game.
Okay.
But I acknowledge very much so that is, like, if this game gets to 1-0 in the 65th minute or something like that with Liverpool getting a goal, I feel like that is that next 25 minutes is going to be some of the best soccer you're ever going to see from anyone, and it'll be played by Real Madrid.
Well, and it's going to be so desperate too, right?
Well, but my question will be, can Liverpool handle what I think they will get to a lead? Can they handle the final 25 minutes where they will I think they will have a lead, and can they handle what Real Madrid does, which is suddenly, you said they, you know, Liverpool flips their switch. So does Madrid. They have the absolute ability to come in late in a game and just steal it out of nowhere.
So I look at this from a perspective of, sure, you can look at Real Madrid's run through Chelsea and Pulisic's missed opportunity, and we've talked about that, whatever. Manchester City, not equipped for that. They still have that cloud hanging over their head. Like, this is the one thing that Pep has long awaited for in his reign in Manchester, is the ability to go out there and win a European title. They can't do it. PSG the same way. Those teams not equipped at the same level that Liverpool are. Liverpool have been here. Liverpool have done this. They just did it a couple of years ago. Yep. They took on Real Madrid in the final, and by the way, are a couple of bad goalie mess-ups away from possibly winning that game.
Yes.
And so I believe it's the 40-year anniversary, too, of these two teams playing in a European championship in Paris.
I believe you're right on
so
that.
So I think it's 40 years.
It's been a while, but yes.
So it's going to be really good. I'm also in the camp with you. I think Liverpool take a 1-0 lead. I don't know when in the game they do. But I can see this, Bone, getting down to 80th minute. I see this being either 1-1 or 2-2. I see Real Madrid pulling rabbits out of their asses like they do all the time.
Yeah.
And like they've done for this campaign, I see this going to extra time. I see nobody scoring in extra time. This one, for me, is going to go down to a penalty shootout. They have been the best two teams in Europe. They have been unbelievable this year. And as for who wins the penalty shootout, I have no idea. But give me 120 minutes of this game.
Yes.
Inject it into me, a la Madrid. Hopefully they win penalty shootouts.
Yeah, exactly right. I am looking forward to watching the majority of this game, and then I have to leave in the final about like 20 minutes I will have to miss because I will have a recital to go to for my daughters. So
me, I'll be at Zaftig watching this
I know
game.
You will be. So. And I wish I could be there, but I was actually, a few friends were talking. We were like, hey, Zaftig. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be there. And then I'm like, ah, crap, I've got the recital I forgot about. So that all said, I hope that it does go just the 90 because I might be able to like check that on my phone as the mm-hmm. like – recital's just getting started, but if it goes 120, I'm gonna have to tap out and catch the highlights later.
So you're really gonna flambé me here.
Okay.
So Meredith, when she graduated college for the first time, she graduated two times. Look at her. Look at the big brains on her.
Must be nice.
So they went to Spain. Her mom and her dad and her went to Spain, and she spent a couple of nights in Sevilla. Yep. And then they went to Barcelona, and then they went to Madrid.
Yes, right.
So when she was over there, she was, texting me and everything. It's like, there's some sort of parade that's going on in Seville when they were over there. So it was Sevilla had won a Europa League championship.
Okay.
And they were having the parade and everything. She's like, oh, that's pretty awesome. And she asked me, she's like, do you want anything? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need anything. So she brought me back. The one thing that she brought me back here a few years ago from her trip to Spain was a Real Madrid scarf. If you don't think it's the only time that I've ever worn this, if you don't think I'm wearing this on Saturday for the Champions League game against Liverpool,
course.
You're out of your damn mind.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Real Madrid, not because I don't like Liverpool. I've said before, I have a lot of respect for their fans. I actually saw Liverpool play. I saw Mo Salah and some of these guys play when they came to Michigan to play against your Manchester United.
And he's tremendous.
Oh, yeah. It was fun to watch that group work and just see, Jurgen Klopp and see the fans. The Liverpool fans were just amazing that day. I really enjoyed it. And I hate to say it, it was, Liverpool had just won Champions League, and then it was that following year. And then Manchester United has been Manchester United. So it was like 3-1, the Liverpool fans up there. But I love Liverpool fans. I have had a good time with a lot of Liverpool fans.
I do too. Some of my very good soccer friends are Liverpool fans.
Which makes me
dislike them more.
But I am pulling for Real Madrid just because I want Luka Modric to be my friend.
I
love Luka Modric.
You just
so
love
much.
Him so much.
I do. No, but I'm rooting to watch. Like, this is it. This is like, I'm rooting for him, LeBron, not really Tom Brady because he's weird, but most of the other old guys in sports now I'm rooting for because they're like, we're around the same age group. Where like I'm just tailing out of that. Mm-hmm. I'm 39. I'll be 40 this year. I'll eventually get over that because everyone will be younger than me. But there's like the last group right now of guys who are like coming through when I was a young guy, young adult. Yeah, these guys are all around my age group, and they're still playing well. So Luka Modric, I hope, gets it done, and I hope Real Madrid wins. But I'm picking Liverpool to win.
All right, so you're going Liverpool. I'm going Madrid. No big shock there, I don't think, to anybody.
No. It's gonna be a fun match for sure, and we hope you all enjoy it.
Whatever the outcome, I'll be drunk. So who cares?
I may be too. I'll just be at a recital. Sneak a beer in. But I can't drink too much because then Sunday, getting up early, Indy 500.
Ooh, Monaco on Sunday too, right?
Yeah. I can't do both. believe it or
what
not.
What do you mean you can't do both?
Can't get to one and the other. I'm going to the Indy 500.
Yes.
I will be there Sunday.
I forgot about that.
No, that's okay. I'm going to take, but I have a backpack cooler bought specifically for the Indy 500.
Sweet.
Because you can take beer in. You can just bring it in.
I wouldn't imagine you can watch race cars sober. So, yes.
You do need the beer, and it'll be fun. All right. And by the way, I've always said soccer and racing, a lot of similarities.
We told you, we were at Zaftig last week. We started off our day watching the Spanish Grand Prix.
Yeah, F1.
They opened up at 9 a.m. for us because they opened because they have coffee now. And we watched that, and that bled right into decision day.
Yeah. Especially if you don't watch NASCAR, but you watch the other sports, a lot of guys from other countries in soccer and in racing. And a lot of sponsorship.
Yes.
So you get very used to wearing branding on all your clothes.
My buddy John was wearing a McLaren hat, which I know that you
enjoyed. That was such a great hat. That was great. Anyway, all right. We will see you guys next week. Enjoy all the festivities. Till then, have fun, be safe, and we'll see you again on Bone and Beam United. Brought to you by Zaftig Italian.